This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF, and WPTF.com. Email us at agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org. Aging Matters, joined by Carson Sellers from Transitions Life Care. Here's your host, Mike Slayman.
How to have a happy birthday. Easy for some, not so for others. Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surround you. A service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on AM 680 WPTF, FM 92.9, and WPTF.com. Hi there, I'm Mike Slayman, a new voice to the program. I'm joined by Carson Sellers from Transitions Life Care. Welcome. So I'm new to this program.
Yes.
And I want to find out what you guys are all about. So tell me.
Yeah, absolutely. So our listeners know that we are all about Aging Matters. Anything that has to do with healthy aging, that is what we talk about. We are here to help with any resources, anything that our listeners might need to age in a healthier and happier way. So,
for instance,
we have a wide variety of services. We do hospice and palliative care. We also do grief support and caregiver support. So that's a little bit of what we touch on. And yeah, we're just here to provide resources and help people as they transition to the later stages in their life.
Fantastic. We have a special guest today joining us.
So today we have the pleasure of speaking with Tamar Hurwitz Fleming. She is the author of How to Have a Happy Birthday. Tamar, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just dive right in here, if you don't mind. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and what led to your anomaly about birthdays and what led to the composition of your book that helps others that have the same problem?
Well, we all have birthdays. And growing up, you know, I'd have the cake and the parties and all the things that would happen for me when I was a kid and my parents would do for me. And it was actually the worst birthday I ever had in my life was a real eye-opener. And that was when I turned 18 years old. It was my first year away from home. I was at college. I was living in the dorms. This was back in 1983. This was before we had cell phones and all that, all the fancy stuff we have now. And I was really excited to wake up on my birthday and receive calls from my family. And, you know, I was waiting for the phone to ring. I ran to breakfast. I came back. And the whole day, I would sit by the phone waiting for it to ring. And unfortunately, my family forgot my birthday. Nobody called me. Nobody wished me a happy birthday. And I was pretty devastated. It was such a simple thing I was waiting for. And when it didn't come, my heart broke. And, you know, everyone had their reasons. I later found out, but it didn't matter. It was really sending me a message that was just very painful. And a couple years later, I was overseas, my junior year abroad. I was turning 20. And I woke up, and it was my birthday, and I realized, oh, my goodness, I am so far from home. There is nobody here to do this for me. Today's my day. I'm going to do it for myself. And so I ended up having the best birthday of my life at that point because I took the day off of classes. I walked through town. I bought myself a birthday present. I had friends over later for cake. And that's when I realized the difference between those two birthdays. When I was 18, I was very passive, literally waiting for the phone to ring. And then when I turned 20, it's like, oh, my birthday joy is up to me and nobody else. And from that point on, I started paying attention to my birthdays. I started planning them with intention. And I started noticing other people's birthday experiences and how a lot of people actually don't have happy birthdays. And, you know, it took me a while, but eventually I realized, you know, I think there's a book to write about this, really a self-help book, because I believe that all of us exist somewhere on the spectrum, whether we are birthday positive or birthday avoidant, where we just don't want anything to do with our birthdays. And I believe birthdays are the most spiritually powerful day of our year. They're our own personal New Year. And when we learn how to take charge of the day, put ourselves in the center of our day, then we can actually have a happy birthday, and it's very nourishing to experience that just one day a year. So that's where the idea for this book came. It took me many, many years to write because in addition to talking to other people about their birthday experiences, I needed to go through my birthday year after year after year and feel the subtle energies that actually build when your birthday is coming and what the day feels like, and then what it feels like after. And so all of that, multi-year experience is what helped inform the book.
Absolutely, and I think you're totally right. I think a lot of people do rely on those around them to kind of make themselves happy on their birthday, but your book kind of seems to center around the idea of making your birthday your own and being intentional about bringing yourself joy on your birthday. So why would you say this intentionality is so important when it comes to celebrating yourself?
Well, because if you stop to think about it, and this is something I realized for myself, and I actually think it's true for everybody, which is that nobody cares about your birthday more than you, and nobody should care more about your birthday than you, because it's your day. It's the day you began your life, and that's powerful. And, you know, when my birthday comes, I'm so excited it's my day, and everybody around me is happy for me, and people love me, and they're happy it's my birthday too, but it's almost a solitary experience, like I'm in it alone. This is my day. And so I can invite people to support my birthday experience, you know, I can invite people to join me on my birthday. I can ask for them to do certain things for me or to set certain things up for me. But I want to be in charge, and I need to be in charge of what it is that I want so that I'm not disappointed. A lot of us have expectations, whether we know it or not, for other people to do the work for us. We often get disappointed. People don't show up the way we wanted. I remember once I had a boyfriend, and he was going to get me a cake. And I was excited about that. And he got me a cake I didn't like.
Not the right flavor, huh?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was passion fruit. And that's like the one fruit I don't like.
Oh, no.
I was so disappointed. He didn't know. He was being very, creative and all that. But, so something as small as that can bring disappointment on your birthday, even though the intentions are good. And so this idea of, like, how can we, invite people to celebrate our birthdays, but be sort of in the driver's seat about what it is we want to do and how we want to do it. We don't need to be control freaks about it, and we don't need to exclude others, but, like, let's be in the driver's seat. Let's decide what we want to do for our day.
Do you mind explaining what exactly it means to be birthday positive and why this is so important as we age?
Yeah, well, as I said, I believe there's a spectrum, and we all fall somewhere on the spectrum of being birthday positive. And by that, it means somebody who embraces their birthday, loves their birthday, can't wait to celebrate their birthday, and really feels uplifted by their birthday experience. So that's at one end of the spectrum. And then the other end is birthday avoidance. These are the people that don't want to even talk about their birthday, let people know that it's their birthday. They don't want to celebrate their birthday. They think it's just another day, and they can't wait till their birthday comes and goes. And then there's everything in between, right? So it's just, my goal is that wherever we are on the birthday spectrum, that we all push a little further to have a happier birthday. So we can all have happier birthdays. Even those of us that are birthday positive, we can have happier birthdays. Because I believe that birthdays, as I said earlier, are actually quite spiritual. But there's a lot of depth and meaning that we can bring to ourselves on our birthday. We can think about the life that we're living. We can ask ourselves if there are any changes we want to bring about in the coming year to help make our life more fulfilling. If our birthday is a personal new year, and it is, it's a wonderful time to start asking questions like, what's my purpose in life? Am I fulfilling my purpose? Are there any changes I want to see or create to become more fulfilled in this coming year? So all of us can bring that thoughtfulness to our birthday experience and help, use the birthday really as a, not a springboard, but like a power center for us to really get into alignment with what we want to do with our life.
You're absolutely right. But for some, those milestone birthdays are hard for some people because it signifies they're getting older. We're going to talk about that and more with our special guest, Tamar Hurwitz-Fleming, author of How to Have a Happy Birthday, right here on Aging Matters as we continue on FM 92.9. AM 680 WPTF and WPTF.com.
This This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one. Aging Matters, joined by Carson Sellers from Transitions Life Care. Here's your host, Mike Slayman.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, it's your care, it's your birthday. We're talking with Tamara Hurwitz Fleming this week. I can remember when my dad turned 70, he never expected to hit that milestone, and he was very happy to have a birthday, Carson.
Yeah, 70. Hopefully I make it to 70. Let's just start there. Let's just dive right back into this. We've been talking about just birthdays and how some people deal with them, how they can be happy for some people, sad for some people as we age. Let's dive into why some people have negative feelings regarding birthdays. What do you think are some of the most common negative feelings or emotions associated with birthdays and aging that hinder people from enjoying them? And how can you begin to confront these feelings and shift your mindset about it?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't like aging for obvious reasons. I mean, we're 1 year closer to the end of our life every year that we get older. So if we're not living a life that's fulfilling to us, or if we're loving our life so much we don't want to say goodbye to the end of our life, sure, we're going to have some concern about our life getting closer and closer to the end point. That's the end point is another discussion, but the idea of aging as something that we don't like, also socially speaking, has a lot to do with our current culture's obsession with youth. That, you know, the younger we look, the more powerful we are, the more successful we are, the more attractive we are. There's all sorts of messages that we get from the media, from the internet, from advertisements, from everything about, you know, look as young as possible, be as young as possible. So if those are the types of messages that we're getting, and we're subconsciously internalizing them, it's easy to understand that when we start hitting these milestone birthdays, 40, 50, 60, 70, that we feel like, oh my gosh, you know, my life is over, I'm not young anymore, I'm not valuable anymore, no one's looking at me, whatever. And I personally really challenge those ideas. I think that every age is powerful, every age has its beauty. It's up to us to define our own power and empowerment. I'm 59 years old. I will be 60 in January. It's a big milestone. I feel it coming. But nobody, absolutely nobody, gets to define my power for me. Nobody gets to tell me I am less powerful because I'm 60 and I'm not young anymore. Nobody gets to tell me I'm less beautiful because I have wrinkles and silver hair. That's not for, they can think what they want, but those are their thoughts. That's got nothing to do with how I feel about myself and how I carry myself and how I move through this world. So I think it's essential for us to challenge these social norms and ideas and belief systems around youth versus being older and to turn it on its head if we so choose. So that's one thing that gets in the way of people enjoying their birthday. I heard from a woman the other day that she noticed that women, when they were hitting 40 and 50, just didn't want to celebrate their birthdays anymore for this very reason. Like, oh, I'm getting old, and I don't want to admit that to myself. So there's that. Another reason why people have a hard time celebrating their birthdays, I think a lot of times it has to do with our childhood experiences. Maybe we weren't celebrated enough. Maybe we had some difficult birthdays. You know, as children, we're very sensitive, and we absorb a lot of messages subconsciously. So if we're not being celebrated the way our friends are being celebrated or, you know, whatever the family dynamics are, it can make us feel that we're not worthy enough for celebration, for that, for being the center of attention on our birthday. So, you know, and also a lot of people, they don't, it's hard, they're givers. A lot of us are givers, but we don't know how to receive. And there's something about birthdays that really asks that we be open and receptive to the good energy that's there for us, that people want to give us on our birthday. I've started practicing going around on my birthday. Let's say I'm going to the coffee shop to buy a cup of tea, and I tell the person behind the counter, hey, it's my birthday today. And they light up, and they smile, and they wish me a happy birthday. And I say thank you, and I take their good energy to heart because I feel it. And I feel like we're all happy when it's somebody else's birthday. So if that's true, then we can believe that they're happy for us when it's our birthday too, even if they're strangers. So there are a lot of other reasons why we might be sad on our birthday, and it's as varied as we are. But for those of you, for your listeners out there who don't like their birthdays, I ask you to consider diving a little deeper and asking why. Why don't you like your birthdays? Is there some event that happened years ago that made you turn yourself off to your birthday experience? I know I spoke with somebody who his mom did everything for him on his birthday when he was a kid, just everything. He loved it. It was magical. It was wonderful. Then he left the house to go to college, and his mother wasn't there to celebrate his birthdays anymore and didn't tell him, you know, didn't say, okay, now this is how you do it. And so he ended up just thinking like, oh, that's just the realm of childhood. It's not for me anymore. And so he didn't celebrate his birthdays until, he got older and realized, oh, wait, I can actually do this for myself.
Right, absolutely. And this self-reflection, this seems very important when approaching your birthday. You wrote a workbook to accompany your book on how to have a happy birthday, and you describe the workbook as a friend asking meaningful questions. What is the purpose of this workbook, and how can it help people as they approach their birthday by asking these honest questions?
Well, you know, a lot of times we don't know what's bothering us about our birthday. Like, right. Why don't I like my birthdays? And so this workbook asks thoughtful questions in a journal format that lets you write out the answers. Like, what are some of, are there any experiences I remember that made me feel unhappy on my birthday? You know, what could those be? Are there any messages that I've inherited from those around me, from society, that makes me feel that aging is not good? What are those messages? Are there things that I fear I'm losing as I age? And what are those things I'm losing as I age? Because let's be honest, we do lose things as we age. We also gain things as we age. And this is true at every age. And so when we get attached to a self-image of ourselves when we were younger, but we're no longer that person, let's ask ourselves, in what ways am I no longer that younger version of myself? And it's okay to feel grief about that. That's honest. That's real. That's okay. But how can we let that go to catch up to the current version of ourselves so we can celebrate ourselves exactly as we are today?
And celebrate ourselves as we age.
So exactly.
As we age, how can we use our birthdays, rather than as a point of contention, as a positive kind of checkpoint for our lives to reflect on our unique journey and experiences that shape who we are as a person?
Well, you just said it, Carson, that, you know, each year on our birthday, it becomes a moment, a checkpoint to say, hey, how am I doing? You know,
absolutely.
It's like an annual review, right? How am I doing?
Yes.
Am I happy? Am I feeling healthy enough? Do I have enough social engagements in my life? Do I have enough friends? Do I feel lonely? Do I feel isolated? Do I feel forgotten? You know, and those feelings, whatever they are, they're honest. Let's ask ourselves that. And then let's ask ourselves, okay, what can I do this coming year to either amplify the joy I already feel in my life or to fix certain things, make certain adjustments so that I can have more of what I desire? You know, if I'm feeling isolated and lonely, and a lot of us are, by the way, in our current culture, you know, we're so hooked in with social media and all of that, but actually we're feeling more lonely than ever because we're isolated. And so what can I do to get more social? One of the things I love the idea of is for those of you that love animals, go down to your local animal shelter, humane society, or, you know, foster group and volunteer. And show up. I've done that. I mean, I was, you know, sweeping the floors and mopping them and loving having all the little dogs running around and loving the people I was meeting. We all shared the same passion for helping animals. So there are lots of, that's just one example, but there are lots of ways that we can get involved and become more social in our lives. And I'm just using this as an example, but if at your annual, you know, your personal new year, you're taking stock of your life and you're saying, what can I do to make it my coming year better? There are lots of solutions so that we can feel happier with our life. And I think that birthdays are a wonderful opportunity to ask ourselves, hey, am I living the life I want to live? And if I'm not, what are the changes I can make in the coming year to have a happier life, basically?
Yeah, it's all about a happy life. We'll continue with Tamar Hurwitz-Fleming, author of How to Have a Happy Birthday, when we continue with Aging Matters on FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF, and WPTF.com.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF, and WPTF.com. Email us at agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org. Aging Matters, joined by Carson Sellers from Transitions Life Care. Here's your host, Mike Slayman.
We're back here in Aging Matters, and we're having a great conversation this week about how to have a happy birthday. I'm wondering if we should tell our friends that our birthday is coming up, or does that set unrealistic expectations?
Oh, no. I absolutely believe that you want people to know that your birthday is coming, and you're letting them know with joy and with an open heart. And if you want them to participate in your birthday festivities, you can invite them to join you, or you can invite them to make, you know, send you a card or make you a collage or bake you a cake or buy you a cake, or, you know, you don't have to ask, you know, buy me presents, but you can ask for, depending on the friendship and what you want, but absolutely letting your friends know that your birthday comes helps build the energy and the excitement about your approaching day. You know, one of the things that we do when we are birthday avoidant is we subconsciously sabotage our birthday joy. And one way we do that is we don't let people know it's our birthday. We show up at work, our colleagues don't know, nobody knows, we leave, our friends don't know, we end up going home, we're moping, we're feeling bad, we can't wait for the birthday to be over. And it's because we didn't let people know that it's our birthday. You know, I believe our birthday is a major holiday. And, you know, major holidays, everybody knows when a major holiday is approaching, and they prepare for it. And again, it's the same thing with your birthday. So letting your friends know, just be clear that what it is, how you might like them to participate in your birthday. And if it's not, it's like, hey, everybody, just letting you know it's my birthday on Sunday. I'm turning 60. And I would love to hear from you. If you just send me an email or you text me or send me a card, I would just be so happy. I'm going to go off into the woods by myself, but I would love to hear from you. You know, you can do whatever you want. And really, that is my message, is that you can do whatever you want on your birthday, but know that you have a right to celebrate yourself, to raise your joy, and to have a happy birthday.
That was a great question. That actually ties perfectly into the idea of in your book about designing your birthday and designing your birthday celebration. What do you think is the most important factor in designing a celebration that brings joy and meaning, especially for those who may feel disconnected from the idea of celebrating themselves?
Well, if you feel disconnected from the idea of celebrating yourself, I'm not going to expect you to hear this conversation or to read my book or answer the questions in the workbook and then have your next birthday be 180 degrees different. But I will expect you to have a happier birthday from what you've ever had before. So it's like, you know, every year we learn from the experience and we learn what to do the following year to prepare, you know, so it builds on itself. But in terms of folks that, I mean, one of the things that I love to do, and I recommend this for everybody, give it a try, is the night before your birthday. Think of, you know, it's your birthday eve. Think, you know, go ahead and buy a birthday banner, have it on hand, put it up somewhere in your house, and then find an area in your home to decorate as like a birthday altar. Put up your favorite pictures of yourself, put up some candles, some flowers, make it a beautiful little area in tribute to yourself, which some people, I can hear you saying right now, like, oh my God, I would never do that. But I would ask you, why? Why wouldn't you do that for yourself? Why not honor yourself? But by doing that, it's like turning a light switch on to the birthday spirit so that you actually feel like, oh, today is, this evening is the beginning of something sacred that's coming tomorrow, which is my birthday. And so that action, that one action, can absolutely transform the feeling that you have. Someone once said to me, because they did this, and as soon as they put up the birthday banner that said happy birthday, she said, I felt like somebody was wishing me happy birthday, like it was being reflected back at me, and I suddenly responded to it. My energy rose. I met that moment. And so I think that decorating the house, just like you would for any other major holiday, and making it special in your honor, it's a great way to start.
that's perfect, because in the book you talk about birthdays, and before today you've talked about birthdays being a spiritual act and how centering them can enhance our human experience. Can you dive a little bit deeper into what you mean by this and how birthdays can be a meaningful ritual for self-reflection and growth?
Yeah. Well, you know, think about it. So our birthday is the day that our souls literally came into our physical form to begin this life. And I can think of nothing more spiritual than that. And, you know, as we know that our death day is when this life ends and our soul leaves our body. So, you know, they're bookends, really. And so, you know, we're not going to be able to celebrate our death day once we die. We've left our life, so that's a whole other conversation about a whole other experience. But our birthday is the day our life began. That, there's nothing more spiritual than that. It's, we're very much in alignment, spiritually in alignment on our birthday. So much so that I find all sorts of miracles would happen on my birthday. They didn't happen on any other day, but like, you know, I would turn on the radio randomly and all of a sudden songs that I hadn't heard in 10 years would start playing, like my favorite song. And I felt like, oh my goodness, you know, the magical forces in the universe are actually serenading me on my birthday. I remember once, this was actually about, I think, two or three birthdays ago, I was playing a brand new card game. There were four of us at the table. You played, you know, 13 rounds. I'd never played before, and it's a game of luck and skill, and I literally won 11 out of those 13 rounds.
Oh,
it was, and nobody could believe it, but I was just delighted because I knew it was the birthday spirit. It was birthday magic. And every time I kept pulling up the cards that gave me the winning hand, I just thought, this is my birthday. And sure enough, when we played, you know, again 2 days later, I won like two games. I mean, my luck was really all about the birthday. And so I invite people to look for the spiritual gifts that come to you on your birthday. They are there. And sometimes we don't always trust the little miracles that show up in our lives because, oh, that can't be true. That's just a coincidence. But maybe open yourself up. Maybe say, this is my spirit's way of giving me a birthday gift, a spiritual birthday gift, by playing the song I love so much on the radio. Allow yourself to believe in that possibility, and you can actually open up even more to that reality that your birthday is a spiritual day, and it's as spiritual as you want to make it. And if you're not spiritual and you're not into it, that's fine. Go out, go party, go have cake, do whatever you want. But you know what? The other thing I like to do for birthdays, and for those of you that want to try and have a happier birthday, is go buy yourself a birthday present. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be expensive. But making an effort to buy yourself something that would please you is a wonderful gesture towards yourself to show that you can please yourself and you can treat yourself and you can celebrate yourself by gifting yourself a birthday gift.
And in addition to this spiritual aspect that comes along with birthdays, your approach to birthdays has also been described as an integrative, holistic approach to designing a healthier life. And how does your philosophy on celebrating birthdays connect to overall well-being? And how can it help particularly for our listeners later in our later years as we start to transition into the later stages of our life?
Well, when we take charge of our birthday and plan for it with intention, what do I want to do this year? How do I, you know, what do I want to invoke this year? It empowers us. It's literally empowering to say, okay, this year I want to go to this restaurant, I want to have these friends, and I want to take the day off work or take the day off my daily responsibilities, and I want to do this and I want to do that. And it feels good when we give ourselves permission to do that. And it actually helps us see, like, oh my goodness, that felt great. Let me do that for other days in the year to come. Let me be more empowered in the rest of my life, in the rest of the year. So there's that. But also as we age, and as I said, I'm 59 years old, so I am not yet 69 or 79 or 89. So I don't know what it's like to be that age. But I'm paying attention and I'm asking questions of people who are older. And I know that age changes us. And so I can imagine, because I'm very different at the age of 59 than I was at 29. I'm essentially the same person, right? But I know that age changes us. And so I would hope that as people are in their later years, that they would use their birthdays as an opportunity to reflect and be grateful for how their life has been and be grateful that they're still alive and to ask themselves, what more do I want to do? What more can I do in the years to come or in the year to come? And to use your birthday as a springboard for that. You know, we're never too old to have our heart opened, to have meaningful conversations with loved ones in our life, to write a poem, to do things that can nourish our spirit, nourish our soul, and make us feel celebrated from ourselves and also from others. And so as we get older, as we come to the end of our life, and some of us know, you know, I've had friends with terminal illness that, you know, only got to have one more birthday. And it was very poignant. And they knew that it would be their last birthday. And they did what they wanted. If they, you know, I know somebody who was, quite sick, but he was able to take a trip to Chicago and stay in a fancy hotel and treat himself to a wonderful dinner. And he did his best to celebrate with the poignancy that went along with the fact that he knew he probably wouldn't have another birthday. So I say, let's do our best. Let's do what we want. There are no rules. You know, my book is a self-help book with a lot of ideas and suggestions of ways that we can have a happier birthday. But it all comes down to you and what will make you happy. I was talking with somebody recently who said, you know, I turned 50 and everybody wanted to celebrate my birthday, my family, my friends, and so they came around me. And all I wanted to do was go on a trip by myself, right? So I said, okay, well, if that's true, then maybe what you could do next time is let people celebrate you a week before you turn 50, so that when you actually turn 50, you're doing exactly what you want, even if it's all by yourself. So I'm just inviting people to open themselves up to this idea that your birthday is worth celebrating. You deserve to be in the center of the day. You deserve to create what you want. You deserve to be happy and receive all the love and good energy that's there for you. And to do that, you've got to plan for it like it's a major holiday, take charge of the day, and make it what you want it to be.
I love that, Carson. That's having your cake twice.
Yes.
We're talking to the author of How to Have a Happy Birthday Tomorrow, Hurwitz Fleming, when we continue with Aging Matters on FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF, and WPTF.com.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one. Aging Matters, joined by Carson Sellers from Transitions Life Care. Here's your host, Mike Slayman.
Thanks for joining us on Aging Matters today. We're visiting with author Tamar Hurwitz Fleming, author of How to Have a Happy Birthday. Tamar, as you get older, some of the friends and family members you grew up with are not there anymore. So how do you handle those kind of birthdays?
Well, you know, I remember my grandmother lived to be 98, and as she got older and older, her friends started dying and they weren't around, and she felt really sad about that. And that's something that's very real. If we're lucky enough to live a long life, we're going to be outliving a lot of people we care about. But if you're in a situation where you don't feel like, you know, your family's not nearby, it doesn't mean that you can't have get on the computer and have a FaceTime meeting, you know, like a little birthday celebration on the computer where you can see everybody and they can see you. So you can do that. But you can also, you know, if you're in a, let's say you're in an assisted living facility or a place, you can, if you can, you can decorate your door and say, it's my birthday today. I can imagine, you know, if you're up for it, putting on a birthday crown when you go down to breakfast and letting people know I'm the birthday queen or I'm the birthday king, and have fun with it. Let yourself celebrate that and ask people when their birthday is, and try and create a culture where you're living of their birthday positivity. And I know a lot of places, you know, actually will acknowledge that it's your birthday. They want to know it's your birthday, or they'll have a bulletin board, happy birthday to everybody born in March. And if you see that, let's say you're living in a home with other people, and you see that on the board, and you see that, you know, Joe's birthday is in March and Mary's birthday is in March, go ahead and wish them a happy birthday. Put energy out for them. Start to create a generosity of spirit towards others on their birthday. And hopefully that can start to create a norm in your home environment that can come back at you. Now, if you're living alone and you don't have your friends anymore and your family's far away, you can still have a happy birthday. if you can take yourself someplace and have a wonderful breakfast or lunch or dinner and let the wait staff know that it's your birthday, they'll often bring you a cake and come sing to you. Take yourself shopping. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that you can have a happy birthday. Or even just go through your photo album and look back in time and look back and think about the birthdays you've had and think about how they mark the different points of your life. And that kind of reflection, and I know that reflection is something very natural that happens for people as it happens for us as we age. I think I saw it happen to my parents at the end of their lives. I saw it happen to my grandparents. It's a natural instinct to look backwards and recollect on all the things you did. And a birthday could be a wonderful time to do that. And to be grateful for yourself. Think of all the good things you've done in your life. Think about all the kind gestures you did that maybe nobody even noticed. But pat yourself on the back. You can use your birthday to do that. And, you know, find the ways to make yourself feel loved by yourself on your birthday.
We keep coming back to that same topic of self-love and worthiness, and your book has been praised for its ability to inspire that in people. And one of the things that you touch on is identifying our positive purpose. How can we begin to understand our purpose, and how can that help us navigate the later years of our life with more fulfillment and joy as more of our birthdays pass?
Well, some of us may know, you know, it's interesting when I, you know, in the workbook I say, what might be your positive purpose in life? And it can be something, it actually can be quite simple, you know, like I help people. My purpose in life is to actually help other people and be in service. A lot of people I know love to be in service, love to help. It makes them feel really good. A lot of people love knowledge. Their purpose is to be a scholar and gain as much knowledge about life or about things they're interested in as possible. Other people are artists, and they want to create beauty, and their purpose is to create beauty where they can, even if it's just how they arrange their furniture or put their outfits together or make a painting. So, you know, we all have, it's not just that we have one positive purpose in life. We have many positive purposes in life. But to me, the fruit of the tree will always be sweet when we are doing something positive in our lives, positive for ourselves, positive for other people. And we know what that is. We know what that is. When we hold the door open for a stranger who's struggling with their bags trying to get out of the grocery store, that is a moment of positivity that is shared between two people. And that makes us feel good that we help this other person. So, you know, depending on where we are on the timeline of our life, you know, a person who's 25 years old and is thinking about their future and about what their purpose, their life purpose is very different than somebody who's 85 and looking backwards about their life and what they've done with their life and what their life purpose was, and moving forward with what's left of their life, what more could they do that they want to do?
So in addition to maybe not feeling celebrated or loved enough on our birthdays, many people find themselves feeling sad on their birthdays for a variety of reasons. I feel like I haven't had a birthday in years where I haven't cried at least once just about the fact that I'm getting older and things are changing and this and that. Can you share some tips on how to, like, redirect that energy, how to get rid of these birthday blues that some people feel so often?
Well, the birthday blues are real. And
yes,
they start to creep in as the birthday starts to arrive. You know, I believe birthdays are like a wave of energy. And if all surfers know this, you know, you're standing and you're watching the wave approach, and you're either going to surf it or it's going to topple you. So rather than having it topple you, let's try and ride that wave. But we see it coming, and it's like, oh my God, my birthday's coming, and I have disappointment. I have fears of getting older. I'm unfulfilled in my life. I feel stuck. People want to be happy for me, but I'm not feeling happy. So it's too much pressure. There's a lot of pressure sometimes on our birthdays to be happy, you know, when we're not feeling it. So if you're feeling blue as your birthday is approaching and the tears come, I actually think that's healthy. I've cried before my birthday, and it's actually a very healing release of whatever I've been holding in, that I haven't had enough compassion for myself, that the tears help me feel more compassion for whatever my struggles are in that particular time in my life, what my disappointments might be, for the challenges that might be ahead of me in the coming year. Let's face it, we all know that we have challenges in life, whether they're health-related or relationship-oriented or work-related. We understand that that's a real part of living, and that not every year is a happy year or a good year. It can be difficult. So let's be honest with ourselves, and let's pick up the pieces along with the Kleenex box, and let's try and have a happier birthday anyway. And Carson, I'd be interested to hear if you want to share what some of your birthday experiences have been, or how this conversation might actually inspire you to try a different approach.
Yeah, absolutely. This conversation has taught me a lot about my birthday. I think there are a lot of reasons why, you know, I and other people find themselves getting upset on their birthday. I think that there are a lot of negative feelings associated with it, when I do need to shift my mindset and think of it as a checkpoint, as a celebration, as a, yeah, hey, here's what I've been able to accomplish thus far in my life. And I think that it really did take having this conversation today to think, huh, maybe I am not thinking about this the right way sometimes.
And regardless of your age, I think this book can help anybody. Tamar Herbert Fleming, the book is called How to Have a Happy Birthday. Thank you so much for being with us today on Aging Matters. How can we get a copy of the book?
You can visit, my book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. But you can go to my website, howtohaveahappybirthday.com. And there are links right there on my website that you can buy the book directly, howtohaveahappybirthday.com. You can also contact me if you'd like directly through the website as well.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. And it is my wish that everybody who's listening today has a happier birthday. It's possible, and it's a wonderful opportunity for us to expand even more into our lives. So thank you for the warm welcome today, and it was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. If you go to transitionslifecare.org, you can get more information about all the things we talk about here on Aging Matters. If you missed any part of today's show, or if you want to share it with a family member or a friend in need, go to WPTF.com. And under the show tab, you'll find all the archived shows of Aging Matters, for that matter. Also, search for Aging Matters wherever you get your podcast. That's Aging Matters for this week. For Carson Sellers, I'm Mike Slaman. Tune in next Saturday at 1 on WPTF for Aging Matters, care and comfort that surround you. A service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.